On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, the latest on the $30 million proposal to give Snyder High School its own sports complex. We'll be joined by the Journal-Gazette's Victoria Jacobson to discuss that, Purdue Fort Wayne's new volleyball coach, and she'll tell us more about a Concordia graduate that participated in the Olympic swimming trials in Indianapolis. That's next on Field Notes from WBOI. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. The Fort Wayne Community Schools Board advanced its district-wide equipment and facility improvement project Monday night. The proposal is notable for earmarking $30 million for a 4,000-seat stadium at Snyder High School. A tax increase is not part of the plan. The district will utilize general obligation bonds to cover the $55 million cost of the package. Snyder has not had its own stadium on site for 59 years. The school has been using Spoler Stadium at Northrop as its home sports venue. Head football coach Kurt Tippmann led the Panthers to the state championship in 2023. He says a stadium is overdue for all of Snyder's athletic programs.
And I'm not saying that that has anything to do with wins and losses, but it does have something to do with enhancing the experience that the students have as they participate in all those sports.
It wasn't a tough sell. The board unanimously advanced the plan. Journal-Gazette sports reporter Victoria Jacobson has been following this as well, and she joins us now. Thank you for being here.
Hi, it's great to be here with you.
Now that the stadium at Snyder has been approved, what are we looking at as far as the timeline from here?
Well, everybody on the board, it sounds like, are very excited about this project, but there's still a lot of I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed. So in August, they are scheduled to vote on the approval of the design and the contracts. And then in September, there's supposed to be more approval of bond resolutions. And that's something that is going to happen a couple times over the course of this project. And then construction is supposed to continue through the fall of 2026. So there's going to be a lot of work to be done over the next 2 years or so.
The big event around the state the last couple of weeks was the Olympic swimming trials at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, which looked like a huge success for the city. A Concordia graduate was part of the competition, and you got to speak with him.
That's right. So Finn Brooks is one of several swimmers from the Fort Wayne area who was in Indianapolis swimming kind of on his home turf, as close as you can get. And so he told me that when he first arrived in Indianapolis towards the beginning of the trials, he asked his coach, like, is everybody here a swimmer? And his coach was like, yeah, this is the Olympic trials. This everybody here is for the swimming. It's just a much bigger meet in terms of numbers and pageantry that you see, even compared to some of the high-level college meets that he has competed in, like the Big Ten Championships and the NCAA Championship. On his 21st birthday, last Friday, Finn Brooks, he competed in the 100 fly. He was sixth in the prelims in a time of 50.79 seconds. And then in the semifinals, he finished tied for 11th. So he didn't quite make it into the championship finals on Saturday night, but still a pretty great showing for the Concordia grad and Hoosier swimmer.
Outside of all the excitement in Indianapolis, you covered the high school baseball and softball All-Star Games that took place Saturday at Huntington University and Indiana University, respectively. Tell us what happened.
Well, in both series, the South swept the North, so our All-Stars did not get to take home a final win from their high school careers. But on Sunday, Bishop Dwenger's Brayton Thomas pitched 3 scoreless innings in the start. Unfortunately, the North All-Stars gave up 4 runs in the 7th, so the North didn't get to take home the win, but it was still sort of a celebration for some of our area's top baseball and softball players.
Shifting gears to collegiate sports for a moment, Purdue Fort Wayne has a new volleyball coach. Don Gleason previously spent time coaching the Division II Damon University in Amherst, New York. What's he bringing to the program?
He was the first men's volleyball coach at Damon University. They started their men's program in 2019, and he shifted over from the women's program to become the first head coach of the men's program. So he was building that program from scratch, basically, and they built up to a record of 20-6 in this most recent season. Obviously, he's not going to have to do that here at PFW. He talked about how some of his high school teammates and guys who had gone through his high school program with him had gone to PFW years ago. He talked about how this is one of the legacy programs in men's volleyball, and he wants to return the program to those heights. He said that he believes that they have the things that they really need to become one of the top 5, top 10 programs in the nation. He also said that he really wanted this to be the community's team. He wants to have open practices where alums can drop in, where high school coaches who want to learn more can drop in, where fans who just want to see what the program is all about, they can drop in, see their practices, see, you know, how he goes about business.
Victoria Jacobson covers sports in Northeast Indiana for the Journal-Gazette, primarily focused on high school coverage, but obviously dabbling in collegiate and others as well. Thanks so much for coming by.
Well, thank you very much.
Some quick hits entering this weekend. The Tin Caps are still at home for a 5-game stint against the Dayton Dragons. They'll travel to Lansing to face the Lugnuts Monday through Wednesday. Then the Lugnuts will come down here for a series beginning on the 4th of July. The 7-11 Indiana Fever are coming off a tough 88-87 loss to the Sky Sunday, but they've won 4 of their last 5 games. They'll head out west for the next week. Tonight they square off against Jewel Lloyd in the Seattle Storm at 10 p.m. You can find that one on Prime Video. On Sunday, ESPN will showcase the first meeting between Caitlin Clark and WNBA legend Diana Taurasi in a 3 p.m. matinee against the Phoenix Mercury. And Tuesday, onward to Vegas, in a meeting between the two top vote-getters for the WNBA All-Star Game. Clark is second behind Aces center Asia Wilson, who's having an explosive season for the defending champs. That one will also be on ESPN with a 9:30 p.m. tip-off. Despite only playing 4 games in 2023 due to injury, Colts sophomore quarterback Anthony Richardson is drawing early enthusiasm from analysts. Nate Tice of Yahoo Sports says he has, quote, supernova talent. And while CBS Sports' Heath Cummings says his floor could be Kyler Murray, Richardson could also fit into a tier with Joe Burrow. When the Colts open training camp on July 24th, the Colts say Richardson should be a full go to participate. That's all for Field Notes this week. Join us every Thursday on 89.1 WBOI or wherever you get your podcasts for the latest in sports from Northeast Indiana and the Hoosier State. You can also find these stories at WBOI.org. Until next time, I'm Zach Bernard.
Production for Field Notes is provided by Brittany Smith. Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at WBOI.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.